I want to share a couple of quick thoughts with you about Easter, about the resurrection, about what God put on my heart to share with Emmanuel Church and with everybody joining us for worship today. But first, you know, we have a 2-year-old son, and he sleeps in the same room with us. We have his crib that we've turned into a little bed. We took the front part off. And when he was a baby, he used to wake up and he used to cry. And we'd get out of bed and go pick him up. Now that he's 2, he's almost 2.5, we took the front part off the crib. And now when he wakes up, he announces himself. He introduces himself. He says, he wakes up, he gets out of his little crib, and he says, "Here comes Caleb." And then he goes up to the steps, and he 2 steps in our room, and again, he says, "Here comes Caleb." And then by the time he gets to our bed, again, he says, "Here comes Caleb." So he introduces himself. And when we hear that, when Naomi and I hear that in the morning, we know that, you know, sleep is over. We know that rest is over. We know that it's mom and dad mode on from then on. And I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have these kind of like warnings, you know, ahead of time in different areas of our lives? You know, like, hey, you're going to get a flat tire in 3 days. Be prepared, right? You're gonna get sick, you know, 2 hours from now. Be prepared, you know. But the world doesn't work that way. The world is full of the unexpected. And I want to share a passage that Pastor Arpi read earlier today. It's Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. And I'm just going to read the first 4 verses, and then we'll just take the verses after that. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The guards were shaken by fear. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. So the world, as I said, is full of the unexpected. And it could be a bad thing, right? Like I said, like a flat tire, getting sick. But it could be unexpected in a good way as well. And in this passage, we see something unexpected. We see unexpected courage. Because the people that we see going to the tomb, going to visit the tomb of Jesus on Easter morning, are not the disciples of Jesus. They're not the 12 apostles. It's not Peter, it's not John, it's not James, it's not the inner circle, it's not the extended group of 12 or now 11, but the people that we see going to the tomb on Sunday morning are Mary Magdalene and, it says, the other Mary. And in some of the other passages, we see that it's other women with them. It's the women. And in the society that they lived in, the women would have been highly unexpected to do something so courageous. Because they were looked down upon, they were considered as weaker, they were considered as inferior. If they wanted to put a testimony in a court of law, their testimony would only count as half of a man's. So they were looked down upon. They were unexpected. It was unexpected for them, for this group of society, to show this kind of courage, to go to the tomb of a man who had been executed as a criminal. And we're dealing with a lot of unexpected things these days, right? We're dealing with so many unexpected things. But one of the unexpected things that we're all dealing with is what church looks like. And what church is, right? Like, we're used to coming to church on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, midweek services. We're coming to church. And now we can't do that. Now we're not able to do that because of everything, because of this coronavirus, COVID-19, that's happening all over the world, this pandemic. And we have all of our wonderful pastors here with us this morning, but I'm sure they would be the first to tell you that church has never been about the pastors, right? It's not about who the senior pastor is. It's not about who the assistant pastor is. It's about who the youth pastor is. No, it's not that, right? It's not about who the pastors are. It's not, you know, who's in charge, who's in leadership. It's not about who sings better. It's not about any of that, and it's never been about the building. It's never been about, you don't go to church. You are the church. You and me, we are the church. And we see all around us that this is a truth that we can see with our own eyes, that we are experiencing in Emmanuel Church, because we've seen over the last few weeks as our church has been hit, as the doors have been shut, as we've been forced to have services online, we've seen all sorts of people stepping up and be the church that they're called to be. Over there we have, you know, Peter Derechki on sound, on media. We have Aaron, his dad, doing translation. We have Jason Lukacs, who's been doing video and props for the messages that you've seen over the last week. Andrew Talpush on video, Jason Koshman on tech, Gabi and Noah Trufash on props, Emil Mureshan on streaming and a website, Danny and Annabelle Druhora doing specials, Colleen Courtney, so many people that I could mention right now that have been stepping up and being the church. They are being the church because they're doing what they're called to do. They're using the gifts that they have to serve you and to serve me and to serve the larger community that comes to worship with us every single week. So my question is, who's been stepping up in your life? Over these last few weeks that have been unexpected, that have been difficult, that have been a hassle, who's been stepping up in your life? Who's been showing uncommon courage during this worldwide pandemic? Who's reached out to you? Who's encouraged you? Who's put things in perspective for you? Over the next few days, make sure that you thank them. Make sure that you reach out and thank them for being the church as the church is called to be. And then not only thank them, but be them. Be them. Be that person that reaches out. Be that person that encourages. Be that person that puts things in perspective for those who see nothing but chaos around them. And let them know that God is in control because Christ is risen. Amen? The second thing that we see is unexpected help. In Mark chapter 16, verse 3, as the women are going to the tomb, they're asking themselves, who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb for us? So they're already on the way to the tomb. They're like, we want to see Jesus. We want to go to Jesus. We want to be able to embalm him. We want to be able to visit the tomb. But we know there's this massive stone that's been rolled over the entrance, and we have no way of rolling it away ourselves. But it doesn't matter. We're still going to go. We're gonna start heading towards the tomb, and we're going to believe that the stone is going to be rolled away. And it was, because as we read, an angel came down and rolled the stone away. Help from heaven, heavenly help, divine help, came and rolled the stone away for these women that stepped out in faith. We see unexpected help. And if on this Easter Sunday you're dealing with uncertainties in your life, as I'm sure you probably are, if you're dealing with uncertainties such as the possibility or maybe the reality of losing your job, maybe the loneliness of being quarantined for weeks on end or loved ones getting sick, all sorts of uncertainties, if you don't know how that stone is going to be rolled away, how that stumbling block or that crisis will be resolved, I want you to know that God is fully aware of the situation that you're facing this morning. God knows what you're dealing with. God knows the crisis in your life. God knows the struggle that you're dealing with this morning. And if you set your heart on coming to Jesus this day, as the women did, God can roll the stone away. God can give you insight into the situation that you're facing. God can send divine help for you this morning. The second thing that we see is in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 28. It says, the angel told the women, don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. And the second thing that I want to put out to you this morning is, which Jesus are you looking for? Which Jesus are you looking for? And did you know that you could be looking for Jesus and miss him? Because the angel said to the women, you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. In essence, you're looking for a dead Jesus. You're looking for a dead Jesus. You're looking for the Jesus who died on the cross, was buried, and is still in the tomb. But Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. The tomb couldn't contain him. The stone couldn't keep him in. Jesus is alive. So which Jesus are you looking for? Maybe you've been looking for years. Maybe you've had a sense that there should be something more to life or more to church. But you just don't get it. You don't get it why people come here and worship at the top of their lungs and maybe cry or maybe jump for joy. That's usually Jason jumping for joy. But why there's people jumping for joy or falling on their knees and weeping, and you don't understand what's going on, but you have a sense that there should be something more. There should be more to life. There should be more of a purpose to you and to church and to all the things around you. And the thing is that maybe you're looking for the wrong Jesus. And one of the reasons why you could be looking for the wrong Jesus is maybe you've heard about him from a bunch of different sources, right? Our culture has a million opinions about who Jesus is. And you're confused because you listen to what the culture says and then you come to church and the culture says a million and one things and the church tells you a different thing and you're confused. You don't know what to believe and you don't know what Jesus to look for. Or maybe you have expectations. Maybe you're looking for the wrong Jesus because you have certain specific expectations. Maybe he has to do something in your eyes. And you're telling yourself, Jesus has to heal my mom or I'm not going to believe. Or Jesus has to deal with this pain that I'm experiencing or I'm not going to follow him. Or he has to open these doors, he has to close these doors, he has to do something. You have certain expectations. And if he doesn't do them, that's not the Jesus that you're looking for. And while we're often concerned and we deal with important and real things, a lot of times those things are actually, in the grand scheme of things, superficial. And what the Lord is doing and what God is dealing with is not the surface things, but he's dealing with the inside. He's dealing with my heart. He's dealing with your heart. He's dealing with your soul, my soul. He's dealing with the deep things that need to be resolved before these surface things can be resolved. So expectations. And are you willing to look for this Jesus this morning who won't always give you the easy answers, who will sometimes give you an answer to your prayers, but that answer is going to be no, or maybe, or wait. This Jesus who's going to stretch you, put you in situations that are uncomfortable. Are you willing to look for this Jesus this morning? This Jesus who won't give you the easy answers, but he will give you the truth because he is the truth. He won't answer your prayers like you want him to all the time, but we hear, we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to him who was able to do above and beyond all that we could ask. Jesus might not answer your prayer in the way that you want him to, but he is able to do above and beyond even what you are asking him right now in your prayers. He will stretch you, ask you to do the impossible, but he will also empower you and enable you to do more than you ever thought possible. And the last thing that I see in this text this morning is found in verses 6 through 7, which say, the angel is speaking to the women and he's saying, he is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you. So, in the end, what are we called to do? How are we called to respond on this Easter morning? The first thing is come and see. The angel says, come and see. Come and see the tomb. Come and see. And my challenge to you, Emmanuel Church, and anyone who is joining us for worship in these trying times, is come and see, just as the angel said. Come and see, and don't stop coming. Even if we can't be together physically, even if we can't meet in this building, we don't stop being the church. We don't stop being who God called us to be. As lots of people have said and have posted, prayer hasn't been canceled. Fasting hasn't been canceled. Worship hasn't been outlawed. We are still the church. Come and see and keep on coming. Keep joining us for worship online, through sermons, through worship music. Come and see this Jesus that we're preaching here at Emmanuel Church, the Jesus of Scripture, who heals, who loves, who forgives, who shows mercy, who gives strength, who lifts up those who are fallen. Come and see this Jesus. Also, go and tell. And in this season of panic, in this season of chaos, the message of the gospel is more necessary than ever. So I encourage you, even if you're locked up in your house right now, get on the phone, send somebody a text, give somebody a phone call, send somebody an email, post something online, do whatever you can to fulfill this calling to go and tell that Christ is risen, that Jesus is not dead, that he is seated on the throne, that he is still King of kings and Lord of lords. Go and tell. And then the last thing is, listen. He says, come and listen. Listen, I have told you. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as, like I said, more than ever now, as the voice of the Spirit impresses upon you to the people that you need to reach. We can't come together on a weekly basis as we did, but we will soon again. But for now, it's on you and it's on me to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that we hear his voice and know when brothers and sisters are in pain, when our brothers and sisters are suffering, when they need somebody to reach out, when they need somebody to show them love, when they need somebody to pick them up. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. So come and see, go and tell, and keep listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. God bless you, we love you, and we will be back together worshiping as a community again soon. We love you. God bless.